Paramahansa Kivraja Kacharya Stotra Shata Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samapeta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Shiguru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam namaskritam
Narayanam namaskritam
Naram chaiva narotama Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam mudiraye Shrinvatam swakata krishna Punya shravana kirtana Kridyantas Totyavadrani Vidunati Sukrit Satam Nashta Prayesha Padreshu Nitim Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Utamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4 Creation of the Four Order, Chapter 28, Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Text number 8. Atmanam kanyaya krastam panchalan aridushitan duranta chintam apano na lebhe tat pratikriyam atmanam kanyaya krastam panchalan aridushitan duranta chintam apano na lebhe tat pratikriyam atmanam kanyaya krastam panchalan aridushitan duranta chintam apano na lebhe tat pratikriyam Atmanam himself kanyaya vaikala kanya krastam being embraced panchalan panchala aridushitan infected by the enemies duranta insurmountable chintam anxiety apanaha having obtained not lebe achieved that of that pratikriyam counteraction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Exi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When King Puranjana saw that all his family members, relatives, followers, servants, secretaries, and everyone else had turned against him, he certainly became very anxious. But he could not counteract the situation because he was truly overwhelmed by Kala Kanya. Purport. When a person becomes weak from the attack of old age, the family members, servants, and secretaries do not care for him. He is then unable to counteract this. Thus, he becomes more and more anxious and laments his frightful condition. Om ajnana timiram dasya jnanam jana shalakaya chakshuru militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukam karoti vachalam pangulangayate girim yat kripatamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam panchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So good morning everyone, Hare Krishna. So I will read another text because this purport is very short. So I will read for, I don't know who is writing the verse. Okay, I will read till number 10. So tomorrow will be 11. Yes, like this. So tomorrow you can, whoever, see the Mataji can tell. Number 11 will be. So this verse was, when King Puranjana saw that all his family members, relatives, followers, servants, secretaries, and everyone else had turned against him, he certainly became very anxious. But he could not counteract the situation because he was truly overwhelmed by Kala Kanya. The purport again. When a person becomes weak from the attack of old age, the family members, servants, and secretaries do not care for him. He is then unable to counteract this. Thus he becomes more and more anxious and laments his frightful condition. So this first purport, Prabhupada is explaining something that we may have experienced. Like when a person becomes weak from the attack of old age, the family members, servants, and secretaries do not care for him. And we see the nursing home. There are many people who are living there, and no one of his parents or relatives are coming to visit them. So that they become very happy if we go there. They don't complain. Even we are chanting Hare Krishna there. But it may be, it will happen when they were like 30 years old like that. They will say, no, I don't like your religion or whatever. But now because they are so alone, they can appreciate any that we are going there. Because they really are in need of company. So the next verse. Kamam abhilashandino yata yamansh chakanyaya vigat tatma gatik sneha putra daramsh chalalayan. The objects of enjoyment became stale. How is the pronunciation? S-T-A-L-E. Stale. So the objects of enjoyment became stale by the influence of Kala Kanya due to the continuance of his lusty desires. King Puranjana became very poor in everything. Thus, he did not understand the aim of life. He was still very affectionate toward his wife and children, and he worried about maintaining them purport. This is exactly the position of present civilization. Everyone is engaged in maintaining the body, home, and family. Consequently, everyone becomes confused at the end of life, not knowing what spiritual life and the goal of human life are. In a civilization of sense gratification, there cannot be a spiritual life, because a person thinks only of this life. Although the next life is a fact, no information is given about it. So again, Prabhupada is reflecting in our nowadays civilization, how these verses, this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam is completely applicable, we can say, to what is happening in our society. As it was thousands of years ago, it still is. So, because there is no education of a spiritual life, the Kala tradition, the home and wife, son, etc., becomes the only, we can say, the only object of love in at the time of death is the person we are still thinking of, that family members as our saviors. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is explained that these family members are actually Atma Sanyashu, which are compared to soldiers, but who are asatsu, fallible. And not because they are bad people, just because they are not Krishna. So when we put all our hopes in the part of parcel of Krishna who are conditioned still in material life, then at the time of death they cannot help us. We'll have to take another birth just for if we think of them. So therefore the responsibility that is for Krishna, Krishna is the only one who can give us full satisfaction. That responsibility cannot be placed in a Yeshua Satsu, in a fallible soldier. We cannot place, okay, you make me happy, to another person who is not Krishna, because it's out of their capacity of the living condition, living entities, to give any substantial happiness. So like Aila Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a king who is lamenting because he placed all his hopes in a lady, thinking that he will be happy with her. But finally he was blaming her, because after so many years of enjoyment in the relationship, he wasn't still satisfied. So he started blaming her, but then he realized that actually it's my fault, because I was expecting her to give me happiness, but only the Supreme Lord can give me. So he started praying to the Lord. So that is something that is going on from time immemorial, that we give this responsibility of giving of to other people, other nation, a politician, etc., to make us happy, and then we reject them. This is love and hate. When they cannot fulfill or satisfy our desires or our senses, then those people become enemies. So in the same way, the in a materialistic family life, the members, the family members, they become enemies at the end of life, because the relationship is based on who can give me the real, the greatest happiness. So one may start the family with that understanding, and then the other family members, they will get that idea. So here is my father, and he's to makes me happy. He's here to give me everything I need. And then when that father or mother becomes weak and old, then I will reject them. Although it may not be like that, like a living entity will think, now I'm rejecting my father because he's old, but because it's so, that consciousness is inside, he will act in such a way that he won't be properly taking care of and being grateful. He will, many times we see that the family members reject others when they become poor, when they become weak, etc. Even politicians who were very successful, when they have problems, all the citizens gave the back to them. If they have some scandals, things like that, no one likes to be to support a person who is in trouble. By normal, there are many exceptions, but in general. So the next verse, the city of King Puranjana was overcome by the Gandharva and Yavana soldiers. And although the king had no desire to leave the city, he was circumstantially forced to do so, for it was smashed by Kalakanya. So now all the body is being overcome by the disease, the Gandharvas and Yavana soldiers. And although the king had no desire to leave the city, although the living entity, King Puranjana, he didn't want to leave his body, although it was weak now, and the city was being destroyed, which is the body, he was circumstantially forced to do so, for it was smashed by Kalakanya. So Jara, let's see what Prabhupada explained. The living entity separated from the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead tries to enjoy this material world. He's given a chance to enjoy it in a particular type of body, beginning with the body of a Brahma down to that of a microbe. From the Vedic history of creation, we can understand that the first living creature was Lord Brahma, who created the seven great sages and other prajapatis to increase the universal population. Thus, every living entity, according to karma, his past desires and activities, gets a particular type of body from that of Brahma to that of a microbe or germ in a stool. Due to long association with a particular type of material body, and also due to the grace of Kalakanya and her Maya, one becomes overly attached to a material body, although it is the abode of pain. Even if one tries to separate a worm from a stool, the worm will be unwilling to leave. It will return to the stool. Similarly, a hog generally lives in a very filthy state, eating stool. But if one tries to separate it from its condition and give it a nice place, the hog will be unwilling. In this way, if we study each and every living entity, we will find that he will defy offers of a more comfortable position. Although King Puranjana was attacked from all sides, he was unwilling to leave the city. In other words, the living entity, whatever his condition, does not want to give up the body, but he will be forced to give it up because, after all, this material body cannot exist forever. So next paragraph. The living entity wishes to enjoy the material world in different ways, and therefore, by nature's law, he is allowed to transmigrate from one body to another, exactly as a person transmigrates from the body of an infant to a child, to a boy, to a youth, to a man. This process is constantly going on. At the last stage, when the gross body becomes old and invalid, the living entity is reluctant to give it up, despite the fact that it is no longer usable. Although material existence and the material body are not comfortable, why does the living entity not want to live? As soon as one gets a material body, he has to work very hard to maintain it. He may engage in different fields of activity, but whatever the case, everyone has to work very hard to maintain the material body. Unfortunately, society has no information of the soul's transmigration, because the living entity does not hope to enter the spiritual kingdom of eternal life, bliss, and knowledge. He wants to stick to his present body, even though it may be useless. Consequently, the greatest welfare activity in this material world is the furthering of the Krishna consciousness movement. Last paragraph. This movement is giving human society information about the kingdom of God. There is God, there is Krishna, and everyone can return to God and live eternally in bliss and knowledge. A Krishna conscious person is not afraid of giving up the body because his position is always eternal. A Krishna conscious person engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord eternally. Therefore, as long as he lives within the body, he is happy to engage in the loving service of the Lord. And when he gives up the body, he is also permanently situated in the service of the Lord. The saintly devotees are always free and liberated, whereas the karmis, who have no knowledge of a spiritual life or the transcendental loving service of the Lord, are very much afraid of giving up the rotten material body. So, wonderful purport. So it's amazing that Prabhupada is explaining how, even though King Puranjana is in a very awkward situation, he doesn't want to leave that city, which has been destroyed. Like, for example, even a bird, when he has his nest in a tree, if he sees that someone is, a human being is cutting the tree, he will immediately leave that tree and will be happily to accept another tree to make his home. So, in that way, it's showing common sense. But when our home, when the body is being destroyed, we may want to still be in the material body, even though we know that it's very painful. This is an abode of pain described by Prabhupada. One becomes overly attached to a material body, although it is the abode of pain. So even if one tries to separate a worm from the stool, he will be reluctant. You can imagine? What thing I like, Prabhupada's examples, he gives. I never heard examples with a stool before Krishna consciousness. But actually it's the most practical way, because it's a universal principle. A stool will be always something that we have in common, all rich and poor, black and white, everyone, animals, everyone passes stool. Although in human society, it's like people don't talk about a stool. Like, if they go to the bathroom, they would say another thing. Where do you go? I went to toilet. But they would say in another way that they want to explain what they were doing in the bathroom, because it's something that we are embarrassed of. But actually, especially in India, you see it's a very common thing. Like, people don't cover too much that. So that example with the stool is practical, actually, because everyone can see it. Even children also can understand. So we can imagine a germ in a stool that we are proposing a better life for him. Even if he can understand, he will be reluctant to accept it, because he, somehow or other, the energy of the Lord is keeping him in that condition as he is happy. Prasepatimika klesha and avaranatmika are two energies of Maya. One is to cover, and the other, it tries to push down. So even though we experience a suffering in life, the energy of Krishna Avaranatmika will cover everything and will make us think that actually we are okay, and there is still hope that we will get that happiness we are looking for. And that avaranatmika energy of Maya is the energy which keeps everyone going on, everyone working, even though many desires are not fulfilled, still that avaranatmika energy is giving hope that in the future I will do it. Like chewing the truth, although we are experiencing the same that our previous ancestor experienced, still this generation, new generation, have hope by our anatmika energy that in the future we will get that happiness that our people couldn't get. So now we are going to make it. But then there is the prashepatmika, pulling down. So when we are doing our efforts to get that happiness, then Maya shows his other face, the face of a witch. And then we become completely frightened. But then suddenly she changed her face, and again we become completely helpful. It's like we may have bipolar mother. You can imagine, like, we have a bipolar mother. Some people do. So she came to us and said, "I love you, my son. You are so nice. Come here." And she started petting us like that. And suddenly, she became completely despondent with us. I'm not saying that a bipolar is like that. I'm just trying to give the example of, because I don't want to offend anyone if you had that situation. I'm just giving an example of two positive and negative behavior. So she's like very kind and say, "Oh, I love you. And suddenly, "I hate you. I don't love you anymore. Get away from here." And we become completely bewildered and say, "Okay, I should leave from here. Yes, tomorrow I leave home. I'm going to my friend's home." But that morning, "My dear son, how I love you. I really ask forgiveness for what I did yesterday. You are my life and soul. Please stay with me." We say, "Actually, my mother is really good." So we stay with her, and then again, "I hate you. Get away from here. I don't like you anymore." Poof. No. And then we say, "Okay, I should leave. There is no hope in this family. There is no hope. I will never be happy with these people." And then again, next day, "Please don't go. I have made many arrangements for you, for your education. Look, I cook this beautiful and delicious cake for you. And look, I have a computer for you. So please, stay with me. Just sometimes I make mistakes. But we can be happy together." And going on, like that. So this is the way Maya works. It's covering us, saying there is hope for you, and give us all kind of life. It's very nice. But then from time to time, he's behaving in the other way, Maya, and he's giving us chastisement, sometimes an accident, someone is dying. But then it's covered again and says, "Don't worry, these things happen from time to time. It won't happen to you. Just be cool, happy." So like in the street, if we go to downtown, for example, where downtown is very beautiful, Chicago. Like we have all these skyscrapers. Especially at night, it's very, so many lights are there. So were there, for example, a family there with their sons, and they are taking a walk. They are enjoying and seeing all their people also happy. It's a nice springtime. But suddenly, one person had a heart attack and falls to the ground. Everyone is worried. What happened? Some people get together to see what is going on, and suddenly comes an ambulance and take away all the people. They cover the body with a plastic bag. Immediately they say, "Nothing happened, that's going on, and they may come like ta 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 Error in the system. This is a virus in the system, but this is nothing happened. Go, we have cinemas, everything in the city for you to enjoy. Don't worry, this is for a mistake we make. It won't happen again. Just you can walk happily. So immediately you may think, "Oh, this may happen to me," but actually, no, This is a very nice city. No, nobody can die here. So there's also a marathon that just a few months ago, I think it was in the U.S., and one lady died during the marathon. So, and they say that only three dead they have had in all the history of that marathon. So just trying to encourage people to do the marathon. It's not dangerous. You can run. You will be safe. Some people were worried, you know, like actually it's not very safe to run so many hours like that. But so it's okay. Just only three people die. It's like an error in the system. We won't make that mistake again. So this is like the way Avaranamika and Prasipatmika are always giving someone some energy, is pushing down, and the other is giving hope. So in that way we can continue. So there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which explains this. The living entity in whatever species of life he appears finds a particular type of satisfaction in that species, and he's never averse to being situated in such a condition. This is Kapila Dev teaching to chapter 30. And then the conditioned living entity is satisfied in his own particular species of life, even a worm in the stool, while deluded by the covering influence of the illusory energy. He feels little inclined to cast off his body even when in hell, for he takes delight in hellish enjoyment. Even if the living entity is in hell, it will be still unwilling to live out that situation for something better. So in the same way, the type of enjoyment we are experiencing in material life are completely insignificant compared to a demigod enjoyment. But still, we may be completely, like, which desires a human being may have. I want to be a very important human being. But he's not thinking better to be a demigod, for example, just in the materialistic way. In the same way, an insect, a roach won't be thinking, I want to become a human being in this temple. She will start thinking, I want to be the best roach in the temple, who no one can kill. Not anymore. I mean, I'm saying it everywhere. But these aspirations will be just keep in the same position, but will the best. In the same way, we can have the desire to go back to Godhead and be in Krishna Loka, and we maybe start thinking, I want to be the best devotee in the temple. Or I want to become important in this society, in ISKCON, like that. But what the offering, what is the aspiration that the acharyas are giving us, is to become pure devotees. And no famous people are dear to everyone. We just have to strive for pure devotional service. But in the same way that the worm in the stool, we may be still want to become something in this material life, something important, even among devotees, in the name of devotional service. So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam suggests that the only hope for being free from that aspirations is just to, even if we have many, many desires, will be to hear and chant. Also, to always be engaged in Sravanam and Kirtanam, even though we may have these aspirations, to just focus on the activities of bhakti, and little by little, those aspirations will change. We won't we will start realizing that we are in the biggest tool. In the sense, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, that this material world is like a bathroom, like a toilet. And a gentleman doesn't want to stay in that place. So in the same way, by practicing and receiving knowledge, we will start realizing where we are. And then when we realize, we say, I don't want to be here. This smell is not very good. So take me to another, a better place. And when we understand that all the universe is a Brahma Bhuvana local, it's all Dukkalayana Sashvatan, it's all a place where there is suffering and is asat, it's temporal, then we will realize that there is no hope, even if Maya through Avaranatmika energy is trying to give hope, we will have the knowledge. No, there is no hope. It's not. You are cruel. You are acting in a cruel way by saying that. So is there any question?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I was wondering if you could maybe share some thoughts on how, if we were to present, when we present our philosophy to non-devotees, and maybe they make the argument that, well, everything is relative, so the enjoyment that you get from eating cake, that's the enjoyment that the worm is getting from eating stool, so what does it matter what body you're in? Like that, you know, they may make this argument that it's all relative, right? My happiness is relative to my situation. And that verse is also there, the living entity doesn't want to leave whatever situation he's in, he doesn't want to leave. So how would we counter this point?
So the point is that they're saying that the happiness is relative. And the happiness that the worm in the stool is getting actually is bona fide. Yeah, that's what the verse is saying. I would say, yeah, you're right. That is. It's not, it's like, it's not because we are enjoying a cake, we are having a better situation than the worm in the stool. That's a very good understanding. I will invite to the temple. Because that is relative happiness. So the same happiness we may get through a cake, the worm in the stool is getting through the stool. Now it's like, so therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam said that we shouldn't criticize nor praise any condition situation in life. Like we shouldn't say, for a transcendentalist to say, Chicago is better in summertime than the hellish Alaska. No, for the same. Or this person who came yesterday to the temple is very nice, he's in mood of goodness. But this other person who came, he was in the mood of ignorance. He was drinking alcohol. So that's the same. We don't measure people through he's rich, he's poor, he's in goodness, he's in ignorance. For the transcendentalist point of view, it's all the same. They are in the same situation, suffering. It's like Srimad Bhagavatam gives the example of a free citizen and a citizen who is in jail. So from the point of view of the free citizen, he doesn't see, he doesn't judge, like, jail, for him is jail. So it's not good to go to jail. But from those who are in jail, the prisons, they are thinking in, jail is a first class, it's comfortable. But this jail is not very comfortable. This first class, this is second class. So their aspiration is to become, I want to be a first class prisoner, to enjoy. But from the free citizen, it's all the same. His place in that situation, he will be suffering. I don't want to be in jail. So in the same way, from the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam, that happiness of the worm, the stool, and the happiness, material happiness we may get through a cake, is exactly the same because it's in this material world. So the only difference, the analysis only will be the spiritual happiness or so-called material happiness. That is the only standard. All other things fall in the same category. So in that way, he will be right, the person, to say that it's relative happiness. But we will say that there is this is not real happiness. It's just an illusion. Yes, please.
The question Himanshu raised, or the statement he made, is not correct in the sense that a worm in stool and someone eating a cake, the argument, if someone says that happiness is relative, then their assumption that happiness of a worm and happiness of a cake are the same is not correct. Relative means different. When one says that the happiness of a worm in stool and a person eating cake are the same, that means happiness is absolute. Relative means that there is a higher or a different state of happiness. You understand? So as soon as a person says that happiness is relative, they're agreeing with our point of view. Our point of view is that there are grades of happiness. Only when they say that happiness, or they accept that happiness is absolute, that means the worm in stool is in perfect happiness. You're not happy. You're happy because the mind and senses have to give you that sensation that this is great. Otherwise you would not want to be a worm in stool. Not you. I mean, someone would not want to be a worm in stool. Then that defies the laws of karma. So they have to be satisfied in that position, although there is pain and suffering. Only through knowledge can they know that there is a higher position. So it's not relative. It's their view is that it's absolute. That means you don't have to do anything for a better position. That's what the Bhagavatam is saying. That everyone feels that there's no need to change their circumstance. They're going. That's the potency of Maya, that it makes them convinced that they can just continue on. There's no need for a better situation.
Yes, so thanks, bro. So in that way, let's continue with that. In the material world, we have all different degrees of, like, heavenly planets, hellish planet, and middle planet, and there are supposedly so many degrees of happiness relative even to the bodies that we may have relative to time, how we experience time. But finally, in the is all considered unhappiness. All that type of so-called happiness from the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam, it won't be happiness. That therefore is, it will be only a different, according to the mood of nature, different illusion, because happiness, actually material happiness, is in the mind. It's not in the, because the mind, indriyani para mano, indriyas, how is the verse? Paranyahu, indriyevya param mana. So the mind is superior to the senses. So whatever enjoyment the senses are giving is experienced through the mind. And even if we are suffering in the body, with the mind we can adjust that and make that situation even in happiness. Like in soccer, we see that people make the goal, and they are bleeding, and they are saying, "Goal!" So very happy, because it's in the mind, the enjoyment. It's superior to the body. Yeah, in the same way, the intelligence is superior to the mind. Therefore, that enjoyment that we may think that we're enjoying through the mind, through the spiritual knowledge can be counteract. We can, by receiving spiritual knowledge, we can understand that actually we are not enjoying. Because then that enjoyment of the mind, that you realize this is a stool, so I don't like that. So there are different degrees of knowledge that have to make to understand that we are in not enjoying actually in material life. We are just prisoners. Is there any other? That's correct. Okay. So it. You know better. I'm thinking I know better. That's illusion. Yes.
So you're discussing desire and how we have so many different, we have all these material desires that are getting us into trouble. And I'm wondering, at a certain point in Krishna consciousness, well, personally, what I'm trying to implement is this, you know, desiring in a spiritual way. So desiring, you know, trying to act in a way that will please my spiritual master and please Krishna. But I still have so many impurities, anarthas. So it's difficult for me to discern when is this desire that is coming going to be progressive for my spiritual life, and when is it going to be an impediment. What can I do to distinguish between the two, to be sure that when I act on these different desires that I have, they will be always, I will be acting in a progressive way.
So how do you make sure of that your desires will help you in spiritual life? By asking also. That's the safest way to a senior devotee or even to your spiritual master and presenting those. And they will help you to distinguish. Of course, we use also our intelligence. When present the question, what is best for me to, I don't know, to eat an hamburger? No, of course, you're not going to do that. No. Or there are things that we can understand perfectly. But there are other desires that are more subtle, especially when our intelligence is a sitting place of lust also. So intelligence is getting some knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam. But then there is the virus of lust, and then our desires also become supported by scriptures. And then it becomes difficult. Like Arjuna, he's supporting with Dharma Shastras, his argument, and everyone agree with him when they start reading Bhagavad Gita. Actually, everyone is surprised when Krishna said, you are speaking as a fool. Because although we learn the words, you are a fool. But everyone said, but he was right. He's defending family, etc. So Krishna seemed like he's wrong at the beginning when he's chastising Arjuna. But then he gave the proper knowledge. So in the same way, we can be fooled or cheat by our own intelligence. Therefore, we need the Chaitya, the external. The Chaitya Guru is here, but we may confuse Paramatma. We say, this is I'm analyzing, Paramatma is telling to me that this is a very spiritual desire. It's good for my spiritual life. But this, everything is mixed with the virus. So then we ask, we present that desire of proposal to a senior devotee, and he will say, and it's not that we go through different senior devotees to find the one who gives the answer who fits my desire. So we go and we and we ask for help, and we go to the person who has more knowledge about us, who is taking care of us, who sees us every day, and who is the senior. And then we present that, and we take it if we ask for advice. And that's become easy. Otherwise, we can be in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita for many, 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 many years. So observing the armies inside with our mind. So Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an internet question. Srimad Bhagavatam, there was another one. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki, Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.